This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. If we could first know where we are and whither we are attending, we could better judge what to do and how to do it. Those emphasized words were all in caps. What a way to start a speech. Lincoln, speaking to the Republican State Convention of 1858, started with what was to become his most famous speech up until that point, the House Divided speech, with a testimony to confusion. He is to say in this speech, and with moral clarity, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. He had actually read that, quote, in his youthful school reader. It was a moral lesson inscribed for all young people to read in the New Republic. And it sounds reasonable. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Lincoln animated the metaphor of a building like his own original log cabin and pictures for us the earthquake of division, a splitting house. And, of course, a split house, a polarized house, we might say, must fall down. Lincoln's House Divided speech sounds both reasonable and moral. It won't work to divide against ourselves, and it's wrong as well. Reasonable moral clarity is something we expect from Lincoln and dearly value from our politicians and leaders even now. But if you're going to start a major political speech leading to a very risky but clearly moral proposition, why start it with such a bizarre testament to confusion, disorientation? But Lincoln does begin this speech with the opposite of a benediction, a malediction. If we could know where and whither we are and are going, we could know what and how to do what we must. This is the kind of statement we expect from the Enlightenment side of Lincoln, his scientific materialism? No. Like Thomas Jefferson and the other Enlightenment fathers? We expect some kind of scientific clarity and moral appeal in issues like war and even climate change. For example, we expect science to tell us where we are in terms of global warming and whither we are tending in terms of the carbon consequences, and then expect politicians and policymakers to tell us what to do and how to do it. But while holding us to this modern scientific maxim, Lincoln is actually saying we don't know. He is agnostic about where we are and where we are going and what to do. And that is why the spiritual life of Lincoln is so important, because it is for spiritual reasons, not scientific material reasons, that he starts his speech with rare admission of being lost. All that will follow in this speech, his ideas about the nation and about slavery, are now framed in irony and ignorance. We just don't know. And it is only from a spiritual location that this lack of knowing makes sense. In other words, the point of view of absolute truth, absolute good, absolute plans, and absolute morality, that point of view, Lincoln is saying, we cannot have. We cannot and we do not have all such absolute truths and facts. Now, when it comes to how to solve the human issues of a nation of real people, of human people, divided over the enslavement of other people, real people, human people, the best way to talk about this acknowledgement of confusion is to use the theological language that Lincoln ultimately used himself. In other words, in shorthand, it is from a God's eye point of view that we are lost. We cannot see where we are the way God sees where we are, and we cannot know the total good to do from a God's heart point of view. Lincoln is not only psychologically humble, he is philosophically humble, he is theologically humble. He will see slavery and civil war from the point of view, as one historian calls it, of ruleful puzzlement. Politics, ultimately, Lincoln sees, is contained in vanity and folly and wishful thinking. Moral clarity is an absolute, as an absolute, is a hoax. We all act from the point of view of our own special interests, and only in that spiritual paradox is history meaningful. This is why Lincoln was not an absolutist and why he was not an abolitionist. even though he accomplished what abolitionists desired. He did that from a ground of shaking foundations. For Lincoln the house stood, but the ground shook. It shook and trembled, as did he. It was in the tragic meaning of the history that he led us, and with similar faith against despair, that we too, like Lincoln, can be guided down in honor, even to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.